It's Podville.
Imagine me and you. I do.
I'm your host, Corbin.
And I'm your hostess, Julie.
We are so happy together.
'Cause we're married.
This week on Podville.
Thanksgiving? I hardly know her. And a musicale selection, Little Hero. Welcome to Podville.
Thanks for joining us for this family-friendly variety show.
Hey, Corbin. I've noticed something about the day and the light thereof.
You're the only one that's noticed. Not one person has commented on it, especially not on the internet.
I've not been on the internet in my whole life, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot that about you. The daylight has been stolen.
Saved for later.
Nope. They're not going to give it back. That's the trick. They say they're going to give it back, and then they don't. They just steal it, and then they absorb it into their bodies, and then they can live forever, and we have to live in darkness.
Who are these people?
I don't know.
Well, they're ruining our lives.
Oh, you guys. Don't do daylight savings time changes to people with kids. Just don't do it.
Arizona's got the right idea.
Yeah. For once. I don't know. I have no problems with Arizona.
You and I have a mutual Facebook acquaintance friend, and she, Caitlin Huey? Is that how you say her married name?
Yes.
Anyways, Caitlin was like, with one kid, you work your way up the week before daylight savings, gradually, you know, shaving off some minutes before bedtime, etc. And then she was like, well, with three kids, you just know you're going to have a crappy week afterward.
And you just deal with it.
Yeah.
Although our kids' school got the right idea that they took a few days off for teacher training and what's it called?
Parent-teacher conferences.
Parent-teacher conferences. And they did it for 2 days following daylight savings time, saying, you know what, we'll give you a little buffer, like a couple days to get yourself right.
That was a genius move on their part. Genius.
Yeah. I didn't realize it's genius until it was upon us.
And by the way, Theo's parent-teacher conference went great. He is such a good boy and doing well. Thanks for all your thoughts and prayers, everyone.
You did it, you guys. You gave us all the good mojos and we're doing it. We're living our best lives.
But the kids' days off wasn't terribly convenient timing for me personally, because you went back to work this week.
I did. Everyone was so surprised to see me. Like, why are you here?
Is that because you were yelling boo at everyone when you would pop into their door?
No.
Why weren't you doing that?
Too tired. Actually, like most people said, oh, you're here. Are you back? I'm like, yeah. You don't look too tired. I'm like, that's just because I always look this tired.
This is a baseline fatigue.
A baseline level of sleep debt that I've racked up over years and years of not sleeping enough. It's a lifestyle, you guys. This baby's not affecting my lifestyle.
Not one bit.
Not even a smidge. Yeah, it was nice to get back into my routine a little bit, although I left to go get on my bus to do my usual commute, and I was sitting out there waiting for my bus, and it never showed up, because evidently all my bus drivers are on strike, and have been for weeks. And I've just been in my own little world, not worrying about it, not
blissful
having to deal with
ignorance.
It. And then I was like, oh, maybe I won't go to work today. I very much thought, like, I guess I'll just go home. I guess. All right. I tried. Sorry. Sorry, boss.
When you texted me and said, or was it then? And said that your bus hadn't come after like half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby offered was like, well, we can just go drive him to work. And I was like, no, we're not doing that.
I don't want to do that. We're not going to do that.
I'm not going to take all of my children, especially my new little baby, in rush hour traffic in and out of D.C. Sorry.
Correct.
I love you, but...
but not enough.
Not gonna do it.
Anyway, I eventually got there, and it was fine. Now, you guys did pick me up at the end of my day, because that was the easiest way I could figure out how to make it work.
From the metro station, not from...
that's, yes, yes.
The Treasury.
Worked it out. I got to the nearest metro station. It's frustrating, because like the nearest metro station does not have a bus that easily gets me there. And so it's not too far away, but it's like just far enough. It's like, can't really walk.
Mm-hmm.
But today, since I knew that my buses, again, were not going to be available to me, I rode my bike to the metro station, and I did it.
I did it. I did it.
I made it. It was a little unclear the best way to get there. Like, the Google biking directions are like, yeah, just bike on the road. But it involves, like, going, like, over the highway and on these, like, fairly like busy interchanges.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've never seen someone ride their bike here. I don't want to die. And there are sidewalks that get there, and I just wasn't sure where they all linked up, because I'm like, I don't want to get like stranded on like the wrong side of the highway and then not have a way to get across. And it was fine.
And you didn't even die. And I appreciate that.
I did it mostly for you. The Aww. Not dying part.
I definitely had the thought when you said you're going to ride your bike of, oh no, what if he gets hit by a car and this is the moment where I have to start raising my family alone. Alone.
This is bad timing for me. Don't get killed by a car for like another like year and a half.
Sleep deprivation does things to my mind.
Go to the darkest place and stay there.
I have to go take a nap right now.
It's okay. I wore my helmet. So my brains didn't fall out.
Yeah. So while you were biking around the town, the kids and I went on our first adventure, like big time adventure without you, to the Air and Space Museum in Chantilly? In
Virginia.
In Virginia, not D.C. And it was great.
Yeah.
And we all made it back alive as well.
The big old hangar full of airplanes. And it, yeah, I went before with just Lukey, who is 3. And he's like, okay, cool. Can we go to McDonald's? There's a McDonald's as part of it, which we did go at the end. But that was the carrot at the end of the tunnel that convinced him to walk all around the town with me to look at all the cool things.
Yeah. We started our adventure with McDonald's, which was great because there's little Pokemon toys that the kids kind of entertain themselves with.
From the old Happy Meals.
While I walked around and really thoroughly enjoyed myself looking at all these airplanes. So I can't wait to go back without them.
Who needs them?
They weren't even impressed by the big old space shuttle and all the cool space things. That is part of the name of the museum, Air and Space.
They only care about the air. Like, I can't breathe space.
They only care about the McDonald's. It should be called Air and Space and McDonald's Museum.
The McDonald's Air and Space Museum.
Sponsored by McDonald's.
Get my kids out of bed. The other thing that happened this morning before I went on my bike extravaganza, if you will, is I got up at 6, and usually I get up at 6 and go to the gym and come back around 7. That's when the kids start waking up. But for some reason, when I got up at 6, they also got up at 6, 1 hour earlier than usual, for some reason. And so they all got to come voting with me, and we had a great time, even though the door on our car was frozen shut this morning.
It's begun.
It has begun. And all the windows were so fogged up, and that's all the kids could talk about the whole way there. I can't see out my window.
Were they panicking?
No, it was just very just notable commenting. To them. Yeah. So we got there, and I rebuffed the Democratic sample ballot and the Republican sample ballot and said, oh, no, no, I used the internet and made my own decisions, and I will not be voting for the rapping sheriff. Oh, in case you're not already following us on Twitter, I definitely shared the video of this guy running for sheriff who has a rap, and it is the perfect level of trying but failing to make a good quality video.
It was a long video.
Like 3.5 minutes.
And
several verses.
I just couldn't take it. After a while, I was like, please stop this video. I can't do it.
It was very Michael Scott-esque.
It was. Ooh, it was.
Yeah. So it was like one of those things where it's like, thank you for making this video. I do not want you to be my sheriff. I will not vote for you.
Especially since our current sheriff is a lady.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be sexist on my part. Of sexist against men.
your feminist head is rearing its head. Off with your head. Oh no. My brain's collapsing in on itself.
So
you voted too.
I voted too. I voted, but it was not at 6 o'clock. It was a little bit later than that.
Yeah.
But we all went, and as we were walking from the parking lot to our polling place, which is in a botanical garden building.
Yeah.
Anyways, we were walking up, and Ruby was giving me all the best instructions on how to vote, because she'd already been there, done that very morning.
She knew the whys.
And we were walking up in a different direction than you guys must have walked up, because Ruby was like, okay, there are the guys holding out the papers all the way over there, and you can take them if you want, but you don't have to take them if you don't want. So, but we have to go over there. It's like, we don't have to go over there. I don't want those papers. Let's just go inside the building.
I don't want those people to talk to me.
Yeah. Ruby was very concerned that we weren't going to talk to them. She's like, you have to. Like, no, I don't. Trust me. It's going to be okay.
Well, that's what I get for telling her, you have to do it this way, Ruby. Follow me.
But I voted, dagnabbit. And all the kids got another round of future voter stickers.
Yep.
Even the baby.
Oh, she didn't get one the first time. She was too busy sleeping.
Oh, thank goodness.
You were both sleeping. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You did it. It was wonderful. You did a sleep.
Oof.
You done did a good sleep.
Well, somebody's got to.
You know what that sound means.
Game time, game time, game time.
But not a spooky game, a thankful game.
That's why my song was so thankful.
It sounded thankful. I could hear the thankfulness in your vibrato. It's the most thankful of vocal
trickery.
Thank you for your vocals. I'm so thankful. It's Thanksgiving month.
Hooray!
If October can be a month of spookiness, November can be a month of thankfulness.
And it should be.
Yeah, why not? And so today we're going to do a version of a game we've done before. We did at Easter time, and we read titles of Easter books and then explained to each other what those books were about. But it wasn't really what they were about. We just made it up. And we called that game Easter, I Hardly Know Her. And so this game is going to be the same, but with Thanksgiving books, and it's called Thanksgiving, I Hardly Know Her.
You're welcome, world.
So, without further ado.
Do you got any titles?
J'y do. J'y got ginormous titles. The first book is one of our favorites.
Ooh.
It's not. it's not real.
It's not real?
I'm making a joke because it's just a title and then you're just going to make up what it's about. That's what we're doing here today. All right. This book is called The Very Stuffed Turkey.
Oh, no.
What's that book about?
This book is about a turkey who is looking around the forest for chestnuts. And he's like, gosh dang it, I am not finding any chestnuts. And he has to go on a hero's journey
to find the golden chestnut.
Yeah. And along the way, he gets his ragtag team of pals. And once they finally get to the magical...
The magical cornucopia.
Yeah. Then they all stuff their satchels full of chestnuts and that they don't eat them.
Because they learned the real chestnuts are the friends you made along the way. What a good moral. And as it turns out, the turkey was stuffed with friendship. Very stuffed.
And that's what made him a Thanksgiving turkey, you know? Stuffed with friendship.
Just like when we have a turkey, before we cook it, we stuff it full of friendship. That's what brings out all the flavors. All right. What's the next book?
This one's called Turk and Runt.
Turk and Runt?
Uh-huh.
All right. All right. So this is obviously a buddy comedy. First, you have Turk. He's a wild turkey. You never know what he's going to do. And you got Runt, which is a little candy. It's a little sour candy, you know?
A runt?
A runt. And who would have thought that a crazy turkey and a small candy could develop such a great friendship? So first, Turk finds Runt on the ground and says, hey, look, candy. I guess I'll eat it. I mean, it's no chestnut. And he picks it up. And then Runt says, no, don't eat me. That's what runts sound like.
Terrifying. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. They said, how are you alive? And then he says, holy cow, a talking turkey. Oh, that's my favorite joke.
The old talking turkey joke.
He said, oh no, you're a little runt. You've been laying out on the ground since Halloween. You've been abandoned by your master.
Oh my.
Yeah, the kids who get the candy are the masters.
I am the not candies. Your master, Reese's.
Yeah, that's totally what you'd say. You unwrap it and be like, get inside of me, slave.
Oh no, yikes. Don't like that.
Everything about that is wrong. They don't really go on wild adventures. They just kind of sit and they talk and they work on their friendship.
Whoa, like a really thinky piece.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very cerebral book. And they talk about their life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And by opening up and becoming vulnerable for the first time, they're able to learn things about themselves and about each other. It's a very good book.
It sounds very moving.
And then at the end...
Oh, there's more.
Yeah. So at the end, Runt said, well, I don't really have a purpose in life anymore. So I need you to do me one last favor.
Oh, Turk. No.
I need you to eat me. And Turk said, no, we've become friends. And Runt says, if you're really my friend, you'd do this for me.
Oh, dark.
And so, yeah. So the next time you get a chance, pick up a copy of Turk and Runt. It's the next great American novel. It just really pulls on all the heartstrings, and it's a big metaphor for our country. as it is today.
Oh,
it's
boy.
It's a seasonal book. It's a very important book.
I'm going to do this book for book club.
Ooh, yeah.
Sounds really deep. Lots of layers.
Yeah, you have to really dig into those layers. For now, I am just feeling too full of gratitude. You know, you ever have that feeling where it's like, oh, I'm just so grateful right now. And I just...
like I'm stuffed full of chestnuts.
I just need to go take some things for granted. So we're going to take a wee little break and read an ad. And then once we get some of that gratitude out of our system, we'll come back for more. Thanksgiving, I hardly know her.
And now a word from our sponsors.
If you tiptoed into the dining room of an exclusive men's club, that sentence doesn't end. It's just kind of up there on the top. Then it gets into the copy.
All right.
If you took a peek, you'd find one dish is always on the menu in practically any place men like to eat. That dish is corned beef hash.
Delish.
Men like hash. Always have, always will. But maybe you've found that getting a real hash flavor and texture into homemade hash takes a lot of doing. Why bother? Now you can buy corned beef hash made exactly the way men like to have it. Armor Star Corned Beef Hash. Starting with fine beef, Armor Beef. Our home economists have come up with a hash that's perfect in every single detail that men fuss about. The texture of the hash, the look of the hash, the right balance of meat and potatoes, the proper amount of onions and salt. If you don't get it right, those men will be like, this is the wrong texture of my hash. This hash doesn't look right. There's too many potatoes in my hash.
So fussy.
Just like men. Good? A sentence that's just the word good with a question mark. The flavor of Armor Star Corned Beef Hash has made it the largest selling hash in the United States. Build a supper around this substantial, hearty main dish. Made the men's club way. Corned beef hash.
Well, the most special man in my life really does like some corned beef hash.
Who?
It's you.
I do. Here's the picture.
Okay, it's a lay day. Peeking in at a very fancy dish of corned beef hash.
She's not being very sneaky about it.
Because there's a man right behind her, looking at her like, what's this, a lady?
Yeah, so essentially it's like, peek in and see what they're doing in there. It's like, okay, I'll peek in. I'll walk through the whole room over to the table where they have food and take a real close look at it and walk past all the men. Well, they will clearly see me in their exclusive club.
How'd she even get in there? That's what I want to know.
Maybe she wore a disguise.
And then took it off to look into the pan of corned beef hash.
Yeah, you don't want anything interrupting your view of the hash. Like, why do men like it so much?
We don't need to know. We women don't need to know why you like it. We just need to know what it needs to taste like so you'll stop fussing.
You need to make it right or else. Because I'm a man!
Oh, okay. What? Well, there was something I wanted to go back and discuss.
Good.
Oh, yeah. Getting a real hash flavor and texture in a homemade hash takes a lot of doing. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
How can you... What? Getting a real hash flavor? Doesn't that like... I don't know. I just don't know. I don't understand the world of hash. Apparently, I also don't understand the world of men.
So, I know corned beef. I actually don't know if I know corned beef hash. I love corned beef, but, like, there's potatoes in it.
Like hash browns?
But they're not brown, so... hash whites? Oh, no! Now it's racial and sexist!
Well...
Now we're becoming vaudeville on accident!
The only black person in that... picture is the waiter. So
that is correct. Yeah. Like everyone in this room knows that she's there.
And only one man is curious about it.
And she evidently tiptoed in there. Like, if you tiptoed into the dining room, it's like she just tiptoed all the way over there. Like, oh, how's it going, Carol? That's fine. Just tiptoeing over into this hash to check it out.
And based on all the clothing that these people are wearing and the era that it came from, I'm assuming she's wearing high heels. How do you tiptoe in high heels? How do you tiptoe in high heels, Corbin?
Hash! I'm a man!
You can't hide behind your love of hash!
So yeah, if you want corned beef hash made the men's club way, good? Unanswered. It does not address that question at all. I don't, like that, I don't know why that's there. I don't know why that sentence is there.
Let me look at it again. I want to see the good in context.
It's the last paragraph.
It's the beginning of the paragraph.
It's the beginning of the paragraph.
I see. Okay, so you got like right balance of meat and potatoes, the proper amount of onions and salt. New paragraph. Good? It is good. Very
this is,
good.
This is like, for sure, this is like a Mad Men situation where like some men wrote this ad copy and were just really not giving it their best.
Thank goodness.
All right. You ready for some more Thanksgiving? I hardly know her.
I've never been more ready in my life.
I don't know how you could have been more ready in your life.
Before this moment. Maybe when we started playing this game, that would have been a good time to be ready, but I'm more ready now than I've ever been.
All right. Here's a great book. It's an important guide that everyone should read every Thanksgiving.
Okay.
It's called How to Catch a Turkey.
Ooh. Okay.
Step one.
Nonfiction.
Yes. It's in the Dewey Decimal System.
How to Catch a Turkey. Step number one. Get the largest butterfly net you can find.
The largest one or one that's just big enough for a turkey?
Well, I have a feeling the largest one you can find is maybe big enough for a small turkey.
I don't know. Like, you'd be like, I got this butterfly net to catch a whale, but I guess I could also catch a turkey.
No, just for catching butterflies. And yeah, turkeys.
Catching a butterfly whale.
A whale-sized butterfly. Terrifying.
A butterfly-sized whale. So cute.
That's called a fish.
No, it's a whale.
It comes up and has the little blowhole.
Uh-huh. It's got the horizontal flukes.
I love a good horizontal fluke.
Anyway, sorry, I interrupted. So step one, the butterfly net.
The butterfly net. That's appropriate for a turkey.
Step two, butterfly knife. No, sorry. Continue.
I mean, it wouldn't hurt.
It's really a two-step process.
Get your satchel full of chestnuts to lure them to you.
We're learning so much this episode.
If you want to do it the old-fashioned way, you get a bear trap. Get a bear trap.
Okay.
Make sure you've got your butterfly net, because
sorry. We're talking a bear trap like the metal jaws, or like a bear-sized mouse trap.
Bear-sized mouse trap. That sounds. I don't know how it sounds. Not good.
I mean, bear traps also not good.
The metal kind. Yeah, not good.
Okay, sorry. So you are instructing us how to use this bear trap.
You get it, but you don't set it. You just
throw it out. Get it? Throw it out. You don't need it.
No, you carry it with you as a talisman.
No, it's like the step is to get the bear trap, because if nothing else, that gets one more bear trap off the streets.
You leave the bear trap in the forest, not set.
The only thing that could stop a bad guy with a bear trap is a good guy with a bear trap.
I wish I had a bear trap right now.
But I just shut my bear trap.
You get your bear trap. You leave it on the forest floor, not set, so that all the turkeys walking past know that you mean business, because they're like, oh man, here's this trap, but it's not set. This huntress must be so confident that they can get you that they don't even need to set it.
So all this gear is for mind games.
Turkeys are very smart. At least wild turkeys.
The one wild turkey that we experienced came up to our car and pecked it.
So aggressive. I wish I had my butterfly net at the time. So if you, you drive your car into the forest, wait for a really aggressive turkey to come peck at your door, get the butterfly net, stick it out your car window, swoop it up in there. It's going to struggle. Just be ready for it.
Just be prepared.
It's like catching a fish. It's going to struggle. Just let it wear itself out. Mm-hmm. And once it's all worn out, you get your butterfly knife.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Do the deed. You know what deed I'm talking about.
Uh-huh. Whittling.
You do that deed. You whittle yourself a spear.
So you can do the traditional method of...
The traditional deed.
The traditional deed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, couldn't possibly use a butterfly knife or a bear trap. You gotta have a nice whittled spear.
Yeah.
The more love and tenderness you put into crafting that spear, the more delicious the turkey will taste.
That's the secret ingredient, love. That's the moment you have to inject it into your turkey. It can't go in any sooner or later. And there you have it, folks.
There you have it. How to catch a turkey.
Oh, golly.
It's not my favorite book, but it's like top five for sure.
It's very straightforward. The illustrations are also very important.
Extremely graphic.
Okay. Corbin. Oh, are you ready for the book that I've got for you?
Yes.
Thanksgiving at the Tappletons.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
All right. So this is an interesting book. So most of the books that I saw when I was looking around, there's like Curious George does Thanksgiving for Arthur. And it's like it's like the Thanksgiving version of all these stories. Like we want to see the
classic characters.
These classic characters in a Thanksgiving situation. So here we have Thanksgiving at the Tappletons.
Uh-huh.
So the thing you don't expect, the Tappletons, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Oh.
And so Thanksgiving at the Tappletons is just a normal day.
Wow. Never would have expected that. It's a really boring book.
Quite a twist. Yeah. It's not good. But
it's just a day in the life, and the twist at the end is also it's Thanksgiving Day.
Uh-huh. So it's quite a ride reading the book, because you open up, oh, Thanksgiving. Okay, let's read this book. Like, all right. What's going on? This is boring. What's happening? What book am I reading? And then you just get absorbed in their story. Like,
ooh.
It's like everyday kind of stuff, but like sometimes that's the most powerful storytelling. Is just the quotidian things that you see in the characters from your own life, and you can just relate to it. And you just get sucked in, and then you say, oh, I can't believe she would say that to him. And then there's just lots of family drama. Uh-huh. And it's like stuff that like you don't know the full backstory, uh-huh. but they're bringing up stuff from before, and you're like, okay, okay. And it's like vague enough that you can like really connect with it. Like it's not like ultra specific where it's like, oh yeah, I also have memories and a past. And so I know how those can affect me, and they also have memories. So it's very low on details in this book, but it's kind of like with like a cartoon drawing. Like if there's like a cartoon character, you can like relate to that cartoon character more than if it's an even more lifelike character, because you can see yourself in that character. This is why Keanu Reeves is such a famous actor, because he's just a blank slate and people can just like put all their own emotions into him.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, and so then you get at the end and be like, oh, what a good book. And then the last sentence, also it was Thanksgiving. The end.
Two questions. Question number one, how long is this book?
It's like not quite as long as David Copperfield. But it is a picture book for children.
Wow.
So, all right. So it's like a big like square, but then it's also like almost as thick as it is like around. So it's like a cube. The book is cube shaped.
All right. And you
just got to keep flipping those pages. And you just got to pray. You just got to pray with everything in your being that when you say, all right, kids, what story do you want me to read to you tonight? That they don't choose that story. Because then you're like, okay, well, we're never going to sleep. Let's do this. Just chug on through.
Here's my second question. Can I name one of the characters?
I mean, they already...
Oh, yeah, because this is a book that's already been written. I am not writing this book.
Right.
Forget it.
I've lost the thread of what we're doing here.
I forgot the premise of this game.
What are you talking about? It's a nice, tight game with very clearly defined rules, and we both win. We're winning.
And you know how we both love clearly defined rules in games.
It's important to us. Ladies and gentlemen, a special bonus acrostic written by Theo. So this is an acrostic that Theo came up with earlier, and it's real good. So I'm going to read it to you. He started thinking of words for each letter of his name. And the first one he thought of was for T, transparent.
Mm.
And then for H, hyperactive.
Mm-hmm.
And for E, excited.
Uh-huh.
For O, odd. And I said, wow, great, you did Theo. He's like, no, wait. For D, he's like, we're doing the whole name.
Theodore.
The D is distracted. The O is odd. He said, I'm very odd. I have two O's in my name. Odd. They're both for odd. R is for responsibilities.
Huh, what responsibilities does he think that he has?
It's just part of his character is responsibilities.
I mean, he does have responsibilities, so.
Yeah. Then the E is for engineering.
Perfect.
And it's really an incredible distillation of who he is, and
it really is,
and it's very self-aware. It's very self-aware for a seven-year-old.
It is. Pulls on his passions of engineering, pulls on his ADHD, pulls on his oddness.
Double odd.
But he has a lot of good letters in his name that are easy to use. I feel like J for Julie. There's not, I don't know, jug.
Jowls.
Oh, boy.
Okay. In a future episode, we'll do more acrosticking, and it'll be great.
I told you it'd be fun to do.
Yeah, I agreed. I just wanted to know the terms of the rules of the game so we could know who could win at acrostics.
You just didn't agree enthusiastically enough.
It's because we're both tired.
We're so tired.
For some reason.
Baby.
Baby. Shh. Sleeping.
Ladies and gentlemen, a musicale selection.
Kind to tell you what I'm thinking, even though it hurts. So listen, friend, before we hit another dead end, throw it in reverse. Hey, little hero, what you gonna do in the year of the dragon in front of you? You'll be okay, please be alright. Just survive tonight and we'll take this breakneck ride called July. So small, I would have thought I had it all in my hands. Come over here and I'll tell you what I know. There's always room to grow. Hey, little hero, what you gonna do in the year of the dragon in front of you? You'll be okay, please be alright. Just survive tonight and we'll take this breakneck ride called July. Called July. Dragon in front of you. You'll be okay, please be alright. Just survive tonight, then we'll take this breakneck ride called your life.
Well, we've done it again.
Hey, we have. Hey, Julie. Hey is something I like to say to all my loved ones. And whenever I write them a song, the chorus is going to start with hey. We're on week 3 of our hey days.
Got some good hey days.
Hey days for the ladies.
And the gents.
Yeah, so far, 2 gents. Only 1 lady. Ruby very much wants... the next song to be one for her, and she wants it to be called Hey Girl. We'll see if that happens.
I bet you could make it happen.
Well, yeah. We'll just see if the muse strikes me. I'm Your a temperamental artist.
Your muse is gonna strike you if you don't write this song.
Yeah, and my muse's name is Ruby.
Yeah.
And her wrath will be severe. Anyway, one of these days we'll get back to some good old silly superhero sandwich songs and not do all these sappy songs I wrote for my children.
Maybe Hey Girl could be a silly one.
Yeah, maybe I'll mix it up and It'll be about a hay girl in the barn covered in hay.
Hay is for horses, after all. Maybe it could be like a death metal song, just really angry. Screamo type. Yeah, that would really go with our brand.
I'll take it under advisement. So keep an eye out, folks. So we are so excited to be new, fully fledged members of the Podicon Go network of family friendly podcasts. Yeah. And one of the things we're excited to do is to let you guys know about some other great family friendly entertainment out there. That's real great. So I've been listening to a bunch of those podcasts and really enjoying them. The one that I wanted to talk about as my Podville recommends for this week is The Gigantic Adventures of Jeff and Simon. Is it gigantic? Ginormous? They're very big. The adventures are very big.
I'm on it.
It's a actual play podcast. So it's a role-playing game that they're recording about a pigeon and a mouse, and it's done by some people in New Zealand, and so they have their fantastic Kiwi accents, and the characters are great, and they have a little ad, and we're just gonna plop it in. We didn't even ask. We're just gonna do it, and here it is.
What ho, fancy friends, and welcome to the adventures of me, Jeffrey Monclair, and my faithful winged feathered steed, Monsieur Simon. Join us as we traverse the realms of existence, discover ourselves and others, and have adventure! Ah!
The Gigantic Adventures of Jeff and Simon is a family-friendly adventure on the family-friendly Podicon Go network.
And those adventures were very gigantic.
Yeah.
Good work.
Yeah. Got it right. Got it in one.
Good work to you and also to them for having such gigantic adventures.
Yeah, it's real fun. And so you should check that out. Watch this space for more ads for more shows coming up from our new friends on the Podicon Go network.
I can't wait to have this family of friends in the family of fun.
In the family of friendlies.
Can't wait.
Full of chestnuts.
As always, our musicale selection was provided by our house band, Superhero Sandwich.
Sandwich. That's how you say it in Spanish. Thanks, Duolingo.
And French. Thanks, high school.
Find us. We're Podville. Find us. Yeah, so find us on the internet. We're at Podville on Twitter and Facebook, and we're also on Instagram. And you can find us at podville.com.
PAUDEVILLE.com. Quiet down. My baby is sleeping in the corner.
I know. I immediately I backed off on my plan to just scream.com. And that's what happened.
We also have other children sleeping in other rooms.
Yeah, they sleep like logs. That one sleeps like a baby. She wakes up all the time and cries.
Me too.
We're all sleeping like babies over here. We're so tired. Thanks for visiting Podville.
Come on back next time.
We'll miss you.
Are you ready for me to stop talking?
Now and always.